Amen. When we come to the Bible, we see the Apostle Paul, he was one of the greatest men that you ever read about in the Scriptures. His conversion was great. Very surprising, this man was saved. Suddenly God spoke to him on the road to Damascus, called him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" You remember, he fell to the ground and he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, and it is hard for thee to take against the pricks." I mean, well, this man was saved by the grace of God, and he says in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And what does he tell us here? He says he's the greatest sinner, but the Lord saved him. And maybe there's some tonight in the meeting, and you feel within your heart that you are the greatest, the worst sinner perhaps in all along. Well, the good news of the gospel is that Christ can save the worst when he saved the likes of the Apostle Paul. His conversion was great. His commitment to the cause of Christ was great. He was a man who was sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. In about 3 missionary journeys, he travelled near and far. He was hated. He was despised. He was whipped. He was cast into prison. There were times he was left nearly half dead on the side of a road. But he was committed to bringing this great gospel message out to the people. And that's why he said in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone which believeth." You know, he believed with all his heart that Jesus saves, that his blood washes whiter than the snow. And I'm glad, as a denomination, as a gospel preacher, I believe that tonight. I believe that Jesus saves. And the Apostle Paul, his commitment was great. His correspondence was great. They estimated, counting the book of Hebrews, some dispute the fact, but we believe he did, that God used him to write 14 epistles, 14 letters of the New Testament. That's why the Muslims don't like Paul. I don't know why you like listening to debates. I listen to debates sometimes on YouTube as people debating with Muslims. They hate the Apostle Paul. They hate him with a vengeance. Why? For God used him. God used him to bring great truths to many people. We read the Bible here, 14 of the epistles. God used them to bring the message to our hearts and how we are to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this great book of Ephesians is one of these great books. You find in chapter 1, verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." So he's sending, God saying, "I want you to write. I want you to write to this church at Ephesus. And I want you to write a letter to them. And I have many lessons and I have many truths that I want you to bring to them." And so he writes and he tells us here, "As to the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." And this is a tremendous epistle. There's great truths in it, summing up the life of the child of God. An epistle full of great texts of Scriptures, summing up their conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one such text that sums up everyone who saved tonight. It sums up your life. And everyone listening in tonight, it sums up their life as well, those who are saved. And if you're unconverted, we want you to listen tonight from the great text, because it talks about a people who were far. And then he talks about them being near. And we see that in our text, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And I want to say just 3 simple things here from this text. It talks about a sinful past. A sinful past. We see this in their distance. Now, he's talking here to those people about one time how they were in their life. And notice what he says. "They were once afar off." In other words, it was not that they were only a little way away from God, or just a few yards down the road, or whatever the case may be, but he's reminding those people, in a time in their life, one time, they were far away from God. afar off. That's the term she used. The word afar off means at a distance. It is used sometimes in the Bible. For instance, in Matthew 8, verse 30, the Lord Jesus was talking about that herd of swine, and it says there was a good way off. That's the same Greek word. A good way off. Remember the prodigal son coming home in Luke 15, verse 20, but when he was a great way off, that is the same word that's used. The Apostle Paul is using this terminology here in the book of Ephesians. So he's really saying here is something. There was once this people were far away from God. They were far away from God in their life and in their sin. This Gentile people. Maybe there's someone listening in tonight or someone in the meeting and you're far away from God. That's the past. That was my past. Every child of God in this meeting before your conversion, you were far away from God. Far away. And he shows them that. He goes on to show it. But how is it they're far away? Some people may argue. Some people do dispute. They don't like it. They don't like it when they're told they're sinners. They don't like it when they're told you're far away from God. Oh, they say, you're telling lies. It's not true of me. I was brought up in a church. I went to Sunday school. I learned the catechism. I hardly missed a day in the house of God. I say my prayers and I read the Bible. How can you say that I'm far off? The Bible says it. That's to settle every argument that any one of us would put up against God. Far off from God. You can see it in the passage. Their deadness, verse 1. He says here, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, I'm not really speaking about their physical death, though that sentence was placed upon them. But spiritual death. There's no life in them. And God's living. He's the living. He's the true God. But these people were far away from God. And there was no life. There was no life within their heart at all. There was no life within their soul. They were dead. As someone has said, they were cut off from life because they were cut off from God. And I want to say that again. They were cut off from life because they were cut off from God. And there are people tonight in this village of Analong, and there's no life. And they're far away from God. And the reason is, because they're far off, they're cut off from God. Lifeless. They're deadness. In Genesis 2, verse 17, the Lord left down that law very, very simply. But of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt eat of it. But in the day that eateth, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that eateth thereof, thou shalt surely die. God told them. God warned Adam and Eve very, very plainly. You touch it. You take of that tree. I'm telling you. I'm warning you. Here's something. Here is something that's going to happen to you. You're going to die. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve when they took of the forbidden fruit. They died. And they died spiritually. Now, a few years later, they died physically. But their deadness. Their deadness. And when people's away from God, they're dead. The commentator, Sam Gordon, said, the unbeliever is not sick. He's dead. And we've got to get back to that. Not just a few wee wounds, a few wee patches over, a patch of sin or up. He's dead. You can preach to me. He can't hear you. He's not listening. He's not responding. There's no life. You see, he's far away from God. Without Jesus Christ. Remember it says, 1 Timothy 5 verse 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead. Notice why she liveth. And there are people tonight in this village and in our country, and they're dead. They're living in pleasure. They're living in sin. And according to the Bible, they're far away from God and in their deadness. Now, who could argue tonight here about this, the distance of this people who's far away from God, a sinful past, their deadness. Is that where it finds you here tonight? Well, think about their disobedience. Because look what he says in verse 2. Wherein ye, in time past, he's talking about this past time. You walked according to the course of this world. You just walked according
how the world wanted you to walk. And then it says here, according to the prince of the power of the earth, that's the old devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Here's how you used to walk. You walked according to the world. Yes, they did. But they walked according to the devil. And when anybody, listen to me, when anybody walks according to the devil, he takes you away from God. He doesn't bring you in here, God. He wants to drive the sinner far away from God. Take him away of that wicked pathway. He takes him away of that sinful pathway. He takes him on that pathway tonight, far away from God. And Paul is saying, this is how you used to live. This is where you used to be. You were far off. And you lived in great sin. And you lived your life according to the devil. Remember the Lord Jesus said to the Jews in John 8 verse 44, ye are of your father the devil. And notice, and the lust of your father ye will do. Notice that little phrase. The lust of your father yield. You're just going to copy him. You're just going to live like a devil. Now, there are people, no doubt, in this village tonight will be highly offended if we tell them, you're just living your life. You know, you're living your life like the devil. But that's what the Bible says. These people were far away from God. And they're living a life according to the devil. The devil talks about him here working within them. Now, you can look at the people here at Ephesus. Acts chapter 19, verse 28, they had a temple and they had their idols, and they cried out even that verse, great is the honor of the Ephesians. Do you hear them? Do you see them? They're bringing their children, they're coming to this great statue of a woman, and they're saying, this is our God. This is the one we love. This is the one we worship. And they're bowing down, and their children's bowing down, and they're giving adoration to this great idol. Great. Give us the honor of the Ephesians. They're far away from God. They're far away from God. And when a man or woman is far away from God, they're great sinners. They're great sinners. And they commit terrible sins against the Lord. And we lift up our eyes tonight in our own wee province, and we see the drunkenness. We see the immorality. We see murder, lust, theft, lying, cursing, stealing. We see all of these things. And why is it? They're away from God. That's why. They're away from God. Maybe tonight you say, no, I can't understand the life that I'm living, the things that I'm saying, and the things that I'm doing. Because you're away from God. Well, I once was in opposition myself, like many other people in this meeting. This is a very, very sinful position. To be away from God. People's wicked and sinful in God's sight. And then their damnation, because he summed it up in verse 3 of that particular passage, the word by nature, the end of the verse. Children of wrath. Even as others. Not amazing, not amazing. The Bible tells the truth. People say to me sometimes, well, you know, man wrote the Bible. Well, God used man to write the Bible. We have no issue with that at all. But would man actually just write this about himself if he was left alone? Would he actually sit down and write that we're all by nature going to hell? Well, I don't think some would write that. But that's what God says. That's what God says of those without Christ. That they are lost and heading down towards hell. Why is this? Why is it then brought into this world, born in sin and shaped in iniquity? And by nature, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to say anything. By nature, Adam's fallen nature is placed upon those who come into the world, and they are by nature children of wrath, far away from God. Far away from God, we find here they're lost, and they're lost in hell forever. Now the Jews, when they look at the Gentiles, the Jews had no time. Now we're moving right back to the times of Christ and those times. They had no time for the Gentiles. Now, and they said some things against them. The Jews considered the Gentiles to be
filthy dogs. That's what they considered them to be. They said they were worthy only of death and hell. To an ancient Jew, the only good Gentile was a dead Gentile. That's how much they hated them. And the Jews all said the Gentiles were created by God to be the fuel for the fires of hell. They hated them. Their damnation. Remember, these are Gentiles who were converted, Paul was writing to. And they were far away from God. Verse 12 says they were without God. They were without hope. They were without Christ. And they were lost. You see, what is the problem here? They're away from God. And Paul is saying about their past. He's saying this is how you used to be. You were far off. And heading to hell. I want to ask you tonight. Some of my words find you here tonight in this meeting. Away from God. Walking, marching after the devil's footsteps. Living according to the way he's working within your heart. He's leading you. Leading you astray. Leading you into sin. Leading you away from God tonight. Leading you down towards hell. This is their sinful position that they were once in. And there are people tonight in their problems. And perhaps tonight there is someone in this meeting. This is where our words find you from the word of the living God. Afar off. Away from God. That's a terrible, I want to say, it's a terrible position to be in tonight. To be away from God and to be, it's first, without God and having no hope. And without God in the world and without Christ. This is where they were. The most miserable. It is the most miserable position to be in the world tonight. To be without Christ. To be without hope and be without God. Well, this is how they were. Is that where I find you here tonight in this meeting? Well, the text speaks about a sinful past. It speaks also about a sovereign purchase. Because there's a tremendous phrase, it says in me and I, and what little phrase? The blood of Christ. You can't take the blood out of the book, sure we can't. And we don't want to. And we can't take the blood out of our hymn singing. We can't take the blood out of the gospel preaching. The blood of Christ. When Paul, a great preacher, when he, a mighty gospel preacher, he's pointing people to the fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness. He's pointing people to the cross at Calvary, the death of the Son of God. He's talking here about a sovereign purchase. It is the blood of Christ. It's not the blood of bulls. It's not the blood of goats that we read about in the Old Testament. It's the death of a person. The death of Christ. This is where he brings us. He brings us to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we find in the Bible. The prophet Isaiah, about 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ, in Isaiah 53, verse 6, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And as if the Lord has lifted this sin, and he has placed it, where did he place it? He placed it on him. Who is the him here in this text? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet Isaiah is telling us of the cross. He's telling us of Calvary. He's speaking here of the blood. He's speaking here of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The death of a person. The blood of Christ. And I want to say that to you. The Lord Jesus died on the cross. But despite what the Jews think, despite what Islam says today, the Lord Jesus Christ, who created the world, the blessed Son of God, came into this world and went to the cross and died on the cross. He said he was going to do that, by the way. Because you may be asked someday, someone may say to you, where did Jesus say he was going to die on the cross? Well, in Matthew 16, verse 21, for instance, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. So he's walking. He's walking with the disciples. He's talking here to the disciples. And he's showing something unto them. Here's what he showed to them. How that he must go on to Jerusalem
and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Notice, here's the teaching of Christ. He's saying here to his people, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. And listen, I'm going to be killed. They're going to kill me. But on the third day, he'd rise again. The Lord Jesus spoke about this death. Remember, he said in Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He's talking here about his death. He's talking about his sacrifice. And the Apostle Paul, he went out and preached, and he preached many times, for instance, in Romans 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you hear him? Do you hear him preaching to the people? He's preaching this confidently. He's preaching this boldly. He's preaching this openly. He wants them to hear. He wants them to hear about the death of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, upon the cross. He says, Christ, he died for us. And that's what we find here in this text. The Bible talks here, the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. And in his work and in the wrath of God, remember, he suffered greatly on the cross. He was made a propitiation for our sins, the atoning work of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross. He cried. Remember, he cried out from the very depth of his heart, my God, why? Why has thou forsaken me? The wrath of God was falling. It was falling upon Jesus Christ. You see, he's talking here about the blood of Christ. He shed in his blood. It's being shed for sinners, shed for rebels, shed for me, I can say it tonight. One writer said, no, Lloyd-Jones said actually, our gospel is a gospel of blood. Blood is the foundation. Without it, there's nothing. And those are tremendous words. The great Lloyd-Jones said those words. Our gospel is a gospel of blood. And we love singing about the blood and preaching of the blood. Because without it, without the blood, there's nothing. Jesus died upon the cross here. The death of a person, the blood of Christ. And also in these words, the blood of Christ, I see not only the death of a person, I see that the debt that was paid. The blood of Christ. It's an atoning death, as we made reference. 1 John 2, verse 2. And he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's an atoning death. And Lord Jesus here is paying the debt. And I want you to see tonight it was not his debt. He never failed. He never sinned. He never broke the law of God. He owed nothing. He owed nothing. You and I owed everything. We had nothing within our pockets, nothing within our hearts, nothing within our lives to pay the debt. But Jesus paid it all. He paid it. He paid it for the sins of his people. That's why we sing our little hymn. Have you read the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died? Where your debt was paid by the precious blood that flowed from his wounded side. And then it says, he died an atoning death for thee. He died an atoning death. Oh, wondrous love it was for thee. He died an atoning death. And I find here the Lord Jesus Christ. He dealt with a sin problem that was keeping us, notice, keeping us away from God. A debt that was paid. Oh, he talks here. Apostle Paul is preaching. He's speaking about the blood of Christ. He paid the debt. He paid the debt that I couldn't pay, and he paid the debt that you can't pay, and he paid the debt I want to say to anyone on save tonight in the meeting, that God's not even asking you to pay. He's not asking you to pay anything for salvation tonight. Because Jesus paid it all. The debt's been paid. The blood of Christ has paid it. It's been placed down. It's all paid. That's what he's talking about. the blood of Christ, this mighty evangelist, this mighty preacher of the Word of God, the Apostle Paul here, about the debt that was paid. And then he talked about the deliverance of the people, the blood of Christ, because he purchased the people, because in chapter 1, verse 7, it talks about redemption through his blood. And this is what the Lord Jesus did for those who were far off. He died for them to redeem them, that they might be his people. And so I see here in this text, when he's talking about far and near, he brings us in the center of this whole thing, is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to say tonight to anyone in this meeting, outside of Christ, your only hope for salvation is through Christ. Your only hope tonight for heaven is through Christ. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he talks here about the death of a person. The blood of Christ. And we're glad tonight we can remember Calvary. May we never forget what it cost the Son of God to love us, to save us. He died that you and I might live, as we'll see in a moment or two. Paul is writing to those people. You were far away, you were far away. But oh, that wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven and he went to the cross and he bled and died. He shed his blood to redeem us. He's telling them about the cross, about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our message tonight to anyone who's unsaved, because the only hope for you is through Christ and Christ alone, and through his precious blood. Through his precious, precious blood here tonight. And we were singing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And so he talks about these people who were in sinful position. A sovereign purchase, because he talks about the blood of Christ shed for sinners. And then he talks about a safe position, because he says here in verse 14 or 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Notice about their past, yeah, the purchase. Now their positions, they're made nigh, they're close. And they're brought to, now, in their idolatries, they were far off, but now everything has changed. Now their position, and notice where they are. We notice where they once were. We notice how they once lived, far away from God. But where are they now? They're made nigh. They're near to God. They're near to God. And they're brought among the Jewish people and the people of God, because God has removed, or Christ has removed, the anger, the wrath that was between both of them, because in verse 14 he tells us here, "For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us." So you can see there's been a wall. There was this wall of separation, this wall of division. But something happened when Christ died on the cross. What did he do? He broke down the wall. He broke down the wall. And we brought this people into a new position, and he brought them close to Christ and close to God. And so we find this tonight, for those who are saved, and I want to be saved, God can bring you near. The middle wall has been broken down. The blood of Christ will place you in a new position, near. It'll bring you near tonight. And the only thing can bring you near to Christ tonight and God tonight and heaven tonight is the blood of Christ. Nothing else. And so you can see here their position. You can see their pardon as well, because verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." Those little phrases, the forgiveness of sin. How could they be forgiven? This new position brought them now forgiven. How could it be? How can they be forgiven from the worst sins, idolatry, and another, no doubt other sins as well? How can they be forgiven? How could they have mercy? The blood of Jesus Christ, that's how. It was the blood of Christ that made them safe, and the blood of Jesus Christ had washed them, washed away every sin. Here is their safe position. You see, the shedding of the blood. Someone said, I once heard a minister say that he had been attacked by a man, and I'll use that word, who had heard him preach. "I don't like your theology," he said to this gospel preacher. "It's too bloody. It savours of the shambles. It's all blood, blood, Blood. I like a pleasanter gospel, he replied. He said. Well, the preacher said, my theology is bloody, and I recognize this. The death of Christ with bleeding hands and feet inside, and I am quite content that it should be bloody. Now here's what he said. For God has said that without the shedding of blood there's no remission. And this man was attacked. He was a gospel preacher and preaching the word of God. And he says, I don't like your message. When I preached in England one time in a church in Jarrett Chapel, there was somebody came and they met this old dead Church of England minister across the street, and they says to him, could you tell us where Jarrett Chapel is? And nobody said to him, he says, I wouldn't go near there. And the man says, why would you not go there? You know what he said? They preach nothing but the blood. Well, I thought, boy, what a testimony I had in the town of Lewis. This old rascal across the street, he knew what I was about in the streets of Lewis. They preach nothing but the blood. But your blood's only hope, the blood of Jesus Christ, to get your sins forgiven. And Paul brings them to the blood here. It's a safe position here. It's only the blood of Christ brings you near, and he brings you to this position, this closeness with God, the pardon of sin, the peace. A number of times he speaks of peace. Verse 14, for he is our peace. Verse 15, making peace. Verse 17, he's preaching peace. You and I know tonight as we turn to the Bible that the wicked are like a troubled sea and they have no peace. And they're tossed up and down like a wave in the sea tonight. They have no peace in their conscience. They have no peace in their heart. They have no peace in their life. They have no peace with God. But you can get peace through Jesus Christ. And when these people were brought into this position, they got peace. You remember that child of God, the day he was saved? Peace like a river flooded my soul since Christ, my Savior, maketh me whole. This is the safe position he brings people into. Far but near, neither near. And now they have peace. And you can find peace tonight if you're unconverted in this meeting. If you come to Jesus Christ and trust him with all of your heart. It talks about their peace and their people as well. You can see that in verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which are far off unto them that were nigh. And also in verse 14, broke down the middle wall of perdition even among both of these people. Verse 16, reconciled both unto God and one body. So brings them all together. And they're numbered now among the people of God. The Jews and the Gentiles. I really had said and indicated the Jews hated the Gentiles. And the Gentiles didn't like the Jews either, by the way. This man, Sam Gordon, said this. He said, if a Jewish boy married a Gentile girl, or a Jewish girl married a Gentile boy, the funeral of that Jewish boy or girl was carried out. And that's what he commented on this particular portion. There was a funeral if you did that. You were as good as dead to the parents. The Gentiles, it says, despised the Jews because they were different. They didn't dress, look, eat, or act like anyone else in the world. And the Gentiles, they blamed the Jews for any natural disorders, disasters like earthquakes. And they hated the Jews. And they wanted them exterminated. So there was no love between them. But you know what brought them together? Do you know what brought them together? The blood of Christ. Maybe a separation in your families tonight. Maybe a separation that's hurting you. Maybe you have loved ones tonight not saved. And you're saved. It's hurting you tonight. What can bring you together? The blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Only hope you see tonight. All through the blood. So they're far, but now they're near. And they're made nigh and brought even into the presence of God, and can come into the presence of God. Verse 18, and through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And they're safe. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And so they're a safe position, you see. We find a wonderful change here came into the lives of this people. They were far off. But now they are near. And what has made the difference? It's the blood of Jesus Christ.
the blood of Christ, and nothing else. So I ask you tonight, what are you holding on to get into heaven? I ask you, what are you trusting in tonight to get into heaven? You say, no, I've got a little church certificate. I've got my catechism, or whatever the case may be, but this is the blood. Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. This is the message. Someone has said this, if we have redemption, it is through His blood. If we are justified, it is by His blood. If washed from our mortal sins, it is by His blood. If cleansed from all sin, it is His blood. If we have victory over the last enemy, it's through the blood. If we get admittance into heaven, it's because of the blood. That's why I say to you tonight the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no heaven, there's no salvation, there's no forgiveness, there's no mercy. There's no coming close to God, but only through the blood. We sing our little hymn, "Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope nor refuge now can it be. Oh, blessed Saviour, one without Thee dare to die." Don't dare to live without Christ. Don't dare to die without Christ. But He can bring you near. And I said at the beginning of this message, maybe my words found you far away from God tonight. Far away in the world, far away in sin. There's one can bring you nigh tonight. The precious blood of Christ. And you come, repent from your sin, turn from your sinful life and ways, and trust Christ, and He will save you. And He will give you everlasting life. And He put you in this safe position. Far, but now near. And be glad to be saved tonight, child of God. And how we should rejoice in Christ. But if you're not saved, come and trust Him. We're here to help you. Any questions, do speak with us. And we trust that you will come and put your faith in Christ tonight as Savior. Let's just close then a wee word of prayer. Let's pray. Again, we say to people here tonight, if you're concerned about your soul and any questions, well, speak with us. I don't go home without Christ tonight in this meeting. Far away, but glad you can come near tonight through.